God has a way of focusing upon the workman. God knows that if the workman is what he ought to be, the work will achieve what it ought to achieve.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
My father was a bartender. For many years, I was raised up in a circumstance where there were many ingredients that were displeasing to the Lord. Very early in my life, I learned the ugly things. But then the Lord, in His grace, helped me to see that He was the only one who could fill the sense of emptiness that was in my heart, that my life was going nowhere fast. And through the godly witness of a young man who was the salt of the earth in my world, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He was the son of the Baptist preacher in my town. And it brought into my life that decision to receive the Lord Jesus a whole new dimension of meaning and of purpose. He gave me a forgiveness and a cleansing in the mighty blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been a day in my life that has had so much meaning as the day I became a Christian. And I thank God for that young man who was the salt of the earth in my world. And he became the prohibitive to putrefaction and the antiseptic, the spiritual antiseptic that I needed in my life. And through his witness, his disciplined example, and his dedicated witness, he introduced me to Jesus. So my subject is, ye are the salt of the earth. And if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 13, where we're taught from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is thereafter good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. The Beatitudes are those elements of teaching which introduce this tremendous fifth chapter of Matthew. Most of us are acquainted, at least in word, if not in some detail, with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes reflect really the essence of the Christian way of life, the essential characteristics of a true disciple. The Beatitudes are perhaps the distillation of Jesus' teaching on discipleship, what it means to be a disciple. If you would wish to know what it means to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a constituent of God's kingdom and exhibit the characteristics of the constituents of God's kingdom, perhaps one of the most concise statements of that concept would be the Beatitudes. But in verse 13, which immediately follows the Beatitudes, in his appeal to salt, and really, if we had time, light, in verse 14. In verse 13, in his appeal to salt, Jesus now turns to our influence for good in the world. It's appropriate that it follows the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus describes our character. And in this verse, in verse 14, he describes our conduct. He shows us in these verses, as we try to analyze them, what our character will mean in everyday life. If we have no character, if we are not deepening our relationship with the Lord in the biblical sense of that term and that concept, if we have no character, we will have no meaningful conduct. We will have no meaningful witness. You would think, as you study the Beatitudes, that the kind of people that are described there would have very little influence in the world in which they live. The poor in spirit, the pure in heart, the persecuted, the mourning, the meek, the merciful. You would think that they would be too feeble and too few to effect any kind of positive result in the world in which they live. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth does not share our skepticism. Jesus knows the power of godly character in everyday life. He knows that if a man is what he ought to be, the work will achieve what it ought to achieve. We have a way of focusing on doing. Jesus has a way of focusing on being. Jesus is not impressed by our much activity. He is impressed by the nature of our identity. He does not want to know what are our talents. He wants to know, do you have character? Are you becoming like Jesus? Are you becoming like Christ? And if you are, you will achieve what he intends for you to achieve. We have a way of focusing upon the work. God has a way of focusing upon the workman. God knows that if the workman is what he ought to be, the work will achieve what it ought to achieve. When we focus on doing, we have a tendency to become proud or prideful because we focus on our talents and our abilities and the things we do. When we focus on our doing, we have a tendency to become proud. When we focus on our being, we have a tendency to become humble because we see that we're not nearly as much like Christ as we ought to be. So Jesus does not share our skepticism. He knows that a man that is poor in spirit, he knows that a man that knows what it means to mourn over his own sins and the sins of others, he knows that a man who is meek and merciful, that is pure and persecuted, has tremendous influence in everyday life. He says to you and I as Christians, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. You are salt in the midst of a decaying world. You are light in the midst of a darkening world. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, every one of us as God's people should have a hunger and a thirst to fulfill our calling as salt. And to do that, we need to come to understand it. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? I want you to notice with me two basic insights regarding our calling as the salt of the earth. Now, the first thing that I want to look at very briefly here, or very concisely, I hope I can do it briefly, is a characterization. Ye are the salt of the earth. We are characterized as salt. What does that mean? Ye are the salt of the earth. And if I have time, I want to talk about a catastrophe that Jesus hints at in this verse. But if the salt have lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is thereafter good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And I wonder how many Christians in our world today, in solid biblical frameworks, fundamental Bible-believing biblicist local churches, have lost their true identity as the salt of the earth and are thereafter good for nothing, and are trodden underfoot by the men of this world who no longer take their witness and their testimony seriously. If I have a moment at the end, I would like to analyze very briefly that catastrophe, but first, a characterization. Ye are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? To me, that answers two very important questions. The first question is this: what does that teach us about the world? That simple statement, ye are the salt of the earth, teaches us something very significant about the world in which we live. And we need to understand that world. And then it answers a second very poignant question, and that is, what does that teach us about the Christian? What does it mean, Christian, that you are the salt of the earth? First of all, what does that teach us about the world? What kind of a world needs salt? It is a world that is filled with rottenness and pollution. It is a world that is offensive and foul. It's sad to say, but it's true. It is a world that needs an antiseptic, and our world is like that. For the life of me, I cannot understand why so many modern Christians, so many contemporary Christians, are so enamored with the world. We have a weird fascination with those elements that can only be destructive to our well-being. The kind of world that needs salt, that needs an antiseptic, is a foul and offensive, a rotten and a polluted world, and in a very real sense, our world is just like that. It is the kind of world that needs salt. It needs an antiseptic, and you Christians are that antiseptic. And before you can be rubbed into the secular world around you and achieve the goals that God intended for you to achieve, you need to understand your world. You know, at the turn of 20th century, the thinkers and the philosophers, you can almost universally bet, so to speak, I hope you don't, that they'll be wrong. The thinkers and the philosophers, the poets and the politicians, the preachers and the theologians at the beginning of this 20th century all shared in a bright spirit of confident optimism. And that bright spirit of confident optimism was built upon a theory, a relatively, at that time, recently emerged theory called the theory of evolution. And fundamental to that theory was the idea that man was advancing, that he was developing, that he was going upwards, that biologically man had finally arisen out of the animal and arrived at a very significant level of development, that philosophically man was advancing in his mind, in his thought patterns, in his outlook on life, that he was finally beginning to think. With this kind of emerging man, we are taught as we look back and read the poets and the politicians, the thinkers and the philosophers, certain theologians and preachers, with this kind of emerging man, this was to be a tremendous century. Wars were going to be abolished. Diseases were going to be cured. Suffering was going to be eliminated. It was to be a golden era of paradise restored. And all of this was to come about not by acts of God. They had laid aside all of the old superstitious moors, all of the old superstitious standards. Here was biological man emerging from the animal. Here was philosophical man finally beginning to think, opening up his mind, advancing upward. Not by acts of God, no, but by acts of Congress, by international conferences, by an explosion of educational opportunities. War was to be abolished. Diseases were to be cured. Suffering was to be eliminated. Paradise was to be restored in the 20th century. This is how man viewed the world. This is not a caricature. This can be well established in the literature of that day. This was to be a tremendous century. Do you know what it has turned out to be? A devastatingly tragic century. After two world wars, after the Korean and Vietnam conflicts, after the moral collapse of our culture, the disintegration of the family unit, the drug and occult explosion, the blasting out of our brains, so to speak, with the rock culture, after the Jim Jones syndrome and the emergence of insane ayatollahs and gurus that are omnipresent, there are not many who believe in that line any longer. And so the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. What God says about the world is the truth. And so when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, he was saying, there are these germs of evil. There are these microbes, these infective agents and organisms in the very body of humanity. And unless they are attacked, unless they are checked and restrained, they cause disease. Jesus was saying the world is festering in its own disease. It is offensive and it is foul. It is sinful and it is evil. And so there is this desperate need of an antiseptic. And so Jesus sends his disciples into the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the antiseptic.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.